Yes, it is that time of the day. And we try to finish this Phillies roster. Every day, a different trade name. Kyle will throw at us, but he'll give us the profile of the player, their age, salary, what they're doing this season. And we'll decide if we want them on the Phillies. All right, Kyle, what do we have today?
I got a fun one for you because I don't think I've heard this name connected to the Phillies in terms of a trade candidate at all this season. Actually, it's more of a name that I think the three of us have sort of tossed around in off seasons as a guy that could potentially fill a need for the Phillies.
Okay.
If they were to sign him. Pretty old. This is a 37-year-old outfielder, a right-handed bat. He's on a one-year deal. Now, this is, his contract base salary is $1 million, the max value of $3 million, so like nothing. It's one-year deal, so it'll cost you, you know, almost nothing to get.
Yeah.
They might even be able to get him for like cash considerations or something like that. Like, all right, but I'll give you some career numbers here. 285 batting average, 780 OPS, about 15 home runs a season, but that's because he's really been a part-time player most of his career. I'd say like a platoon outfielder type, and that's sort of the role that he's filling now for a team that is in last place. Definitely going to be sellers. This season he's hitting .266 with a .671 OPS, one home run. Like I said, only 38 games into this year. So he's not lighting the world on fire. That's probably why nobody's talking about him as a trade candidate, but I do think it would be interesting to get here. Give you some splits. Nothing really notable. He's a little better versus right-handed pitching in terms of OPS, but he's a better average and on-base percentage versus left-handed pitching. I'll give you a hint that might help you figure out who this guy is.
I have no idea.
Was he here before?
He was never here before.
Okay. Damn.
However, he did play for a rival, and he always seemed to have a knack for getting a really annoying, well-timed
hit. I think I know
who it is.
I think I know who it is.
And I think you now know who it is. Who do you think it is?
I think it's Starling Marte.
It is Starling Marte.
Starling Marte killed the Phillies. And whatever you tell me his career batting average is against the Phillies, I'm just going to raise it. I'm going to tell you you're wrong. In my mind, he hit like 750 against the Phillies. Always seemed to get the hit. He had, was it game four in New York against the Mets in 2024? Had the single up the middle. That was a big hit. I used to be a huge fan of him. Like when he was in his prime, he could steal bases. He could run. I mean, he could play defense. There was power in his bat. I mean, he's old now, right? Like Kyle said, 38 years old. Is he back in Kansas City? Is that where he is? Oh, he's back home.
He's on the Royals.
Yeah, he's back where he started his career with the Royals. You know what? Starling Marte is not a bad idea. He kind of fits exactly with the, now. It's more of a platoon thing, right?
Like I said, it'd be very cheap. Maybe like a lesser Bader situation from last year.
Yeah, I also wonder with his age if he just can't play that much anymore. Like he'll get hurt.
Not. He's been a part-time player for most of his career anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if you go,
he's used to being in that role.
Yeah. So if you go from 2021 to now, he's only played 100 games in a season one time. I mean, he's really in his 30s. Hugh, he's transformed from. I mean, in his 20s, he was an everyday player. He was a star. But now in his 30s, he basically plays every other game. I mean, he plays half the time. That's what his career is. And I think a lot of that is by design. They don't play him so he doesn't get hurt as much, and he's productive. It would not excite people, but he could help.
That's the position we're in. We can't do a whole lot, so yeah. Yeah, that's the position we're in.
Well, with Derek Hill here, the question would be, would he come here to play more? I mean, it feels like Derek Hill has become the platoon in one of the two spots. Could they run double platoons? They could. I mean, they could get a right fielder to platoon with Derek Hill, and then you have Marte and Crawford almost platoon, or Hill and you know, you'd have a combination of guys in right and center field.
I'm just saying, like, he's not exciting, but we're not really from a position of, like, we can get whoever we want here. With the amount of assets that we have.
I mean, it kind of falls into where we are. We're not operating from a position of power. And we at this point, we're just trying to get guys to help as much as they possibly can. So, yeah.
He would strike me more as a bench bat, platoon bat, than a guy. I mean, he's just not an everyday right fielder anymore. He's not an everyday outfielder. So, there's nothing wrong with improving your bench. I mean, teams do that. I mean, when we think about the Phillies, we're talking about starters, getting a guy that could play every day, be in the lineup most days. There also is something to just improving your bench, giving Topper more Mattingly more options.
Miss Topper.
But it's in my head, I guess, obviously, still. Yeah. Giving Mattingly more options down the stretch of the season.
Well, like, think about the ultimate bench improvement piece that we've gotten in this era is Sosa.
Yeah, and he's been a really good player.
Right.
I kind of like Starling Marte. And he would cost literally, I mean, I think it's nothing. Unless they don't, he wants to just be there because he was there to start his career, and they don't want to do that to him, just send him here in the middle of the season. But
is he even worth a prospect at this point? Like, I talking about a 37-year-old on a 1-year deal.
He's probably not worth it.
No,
talking about some bread.
He's a cash considerations guy.
He is. That is August 3rd.
I'll consider cash
at 3:59. Cash considerations for Starling Marte. You know, I kind of like the idea and bring him in, put him on the bench.
Money. We got some money. We got a little bit of bread.
And daddy issues.
Yeah.
Well, that's a separate thing. By the way, I was watching more of the highlights from you guys against the Cowboys in 98.
Yeah.
You weren't kidding. You guys got dragged.
We got dragged.
You got your ass whooped,
Well, there was also a part I saw where Deion took a punt back on you. Now, I was looking for Ike on the field. I didn't see him. I wasn't sure if he was out of position to make the tackle on Deion. Scored a touchdown pretty easily on you guys.
Yeah, it was they beat the brakes off of us. And he was dancing. I remember because he was dancing before the ball came to him. And when he caught it, he was gone. He was gone.
That Larry Allen story is so good. It really is. 215-592.
Yeah, you see it.
Yeah. Well, you did. I mean, there's one play where Hughes, you're playing on the end, and Larry Allen's tackle, like you described, and he blocks you so far off the screen, I couldn't see you anymore.
Yeah, but I didn't give up, though. That's the most important thing.
But you did not make the
play. I did not make the play.
It happens to you.
Him, he could have moonwalked into the end zone. There wasn't nothing I could do about it. Allen was a grown-ass man.
And where were you?
I'm a grown-ass man, but there's different levels of grown man, though.
Oh, okay.
He's a grown-ass man. Like, anybody... you remember that video where they had Larry Allen bench pressing like 700 pounds?
Yes, it almost felt...
And then think about it like fake, that. You're playing a whole football game, and you know how tired you are during the game? This man had a whole mouthful of Kodiak dip in his mouth, spitting on the field, laughing and giggling at everything. Was having the time of his life, and we out there laboring, trying to stop them, and he just, this is what he does. Like, he was a grown man. He was grown.
Man, it's rare. Now, he obviously made the Hall of Fame. It is rare to have an NFL player here that makes the all-decade team in two different decades.
Yes.
Like that Brady, right? But, like, you just...
And he played two different positions. He played tackle and guard.
Like, your prime doesn't usually last long enough to go two different decades where you're the best player.
You're that dude.
It's unbelievable.
Man, yeah. And I remember when we were getting ready to play him and Corey... Corey Simon was that we just got Corey.
Right.
And we get ready to play Dallas. And the night before the game, because me and Corey used to play on the same side. And the night before the game, they moved Corey because they were worried about Larry putting hands on him. And they put Hollis over there.
Mm.
Like the night before the game. Because me and Corey lined up because it was supposed to be running stunts or whatever.
Right.
And then at the last minute, they put Hollis over there because they was like, they didn't want to traumatize Corey from getting, getting dealt with by Larry Allen. So, it was a lot.
I can imagine it was. 215-592-9494. All right. Earlier, we brought up the Rams-Seahawks thing. I think a lot of people are lying to themselves, saying the Eagles are on the same level right now as the Rams and Seahawks. I mean, that 75% vote is bananas. But, Hugh, can we hear the Richard Sherman thing again, Kyle? Because I thought your take on it, Hugh, was interesting. When you heard Richard Sherman say Eagles are not on the same level, what you thought he was really saying. Let's hear Richard Sherman.
My expectations, definitely lower. You know, it's hard to put them in the same class as the Rams and the Seahawks right now until proven otherwise. Now, Devontae Smith, do I think is a receiver one? I think he's proven that he can be dominant on his own. But without A.J. Brown there, there'll be double teams on him. There'll be clouds. There'll be things that he hasn't had to deal with as often with A.J. Brown in the fold, and how he deals with those things, how their offense deals with those things, how Jalen Hurts deals with it. At times, Jalen Hurts would just, drop back, throw it up to A.J. Brown. 3rd and 10, all day, always open. A.J. Brown is going to be down there. It's bailed him out of big games, and he's not going to have that same safety blanket anymore. Can he do that with Devontae Smith? No question about it. What will Mekhi Lemon be? He's dealt with some hamstring issues already in minicamp and OTAs. Will that be a lingering issue throughout the season? We'll see, but it's a lot of unknowns. And then you got to deal with the Dallas Cowboys, who have become a lot more formidable. They're going to feel like they have a chance to win that division this year for good reason.
So he said a lot there, but what caught your attention is when he talked about the Seahawks, Rams, and why you think he doesn't put the Eagles on the same level.
Yeah, it's quarterback. It's the uncertainty of the quarterback. He talked about other positions and everything like that. But when you talk about, for me, pound for pound, when you look at the Eagles, they match up well with the teams that you mentioned. Now, I know Malachi Makai is a guy.
Malachi
is a guy.
Malachi Lemon. It's not his name.
Is a guy that, you know, we're counting on to come in and fill that void that AJ left. But this offense is also a question mark.
It's huge.
You could be the smartest guy on the planet and still don't know how to run an offense that is successful. I remember when they brought Dana Bible in, and he was our offensive coordinator. He was supposed to be the next big thing. I forgot what school he came from, but Dana Bible was the guy. He was our offensive coordinator, and he struggled. He struggled at this level. So I'm not saying that Coach Mannion is going to do that because he does have some NFL experience, but it's new for everybody. So there's going to be some growing pains.
You know, there's a headline right there. Hugh compares Sean Mannion to Dana Bible.
Yeah, that's not what I said, but I just was using a compare and contrast.
Well, you know, to your point on this, we don't know until Sean Mannion is doing it. Like, you're right. You can be smart. You can understand the scheme. You could even be a good teacher. There's another element to being a good offensive coordinator that we don't know until it starts.
Yeah.
In the moment, calling plays, right? Like, the right play for the right time. One thing I thought Doug Peterson was so good at, is he set up the other team. Like, Doug had a knack for, like, calling a play here, and then you kind of set the team up for something later in the game. I think all the best play callers, not just offense coordinator, play callers, Hugh, they're good at that. Like, that, you know, as much as we have kind of spun this and said it's going to take Jalen time, right? It's also going to probably take Sean Mannion time. Like, Sean Mannion may have the right playbook. He may have the right design in his plays. Hugh, it could take him a half a season to figure out this is the right time to call this. First, I got to hold that back, and then I throw it at them in the third quarter. I mean, that could take him a while.
You have to learn your personnel, too.
Right.
And where it hurts Malachi is that Malachi has...
It's Makai.
He's not been practicing. Yeah. He hasn't been practicing. So,
well, Malachi certainly has not been practicing.
No, Malachi has been practicing.
Dana Bible came from Stanford, by the way.
Yeah,
Stanford.
The trees.
Yeah. The Cardinal. Trees. They are the trees.
Yeah, they're trees.
Yeah. But so... The combination of the quarterback play and the offensive coordinator and the passing game and just the consistency of the offense. I mean, you go back to last year, the top two scoring teams in the NFL were the Rams and the Seahawks. They were. Now, I don't think the Seahawks offense has as much raw talent as the Rams, but they scored a lot of points, right? Mm-hmm. Like Darnold and the run game they had, and obviously Jaxon Smith-Njigba, they scored a ton of points last season. The gap between the Eagles and the Rams and the Seahawks in terms of points per game was about a touchdown per game. That's a lot. The Eagles were 19th in the NFL in scoring points per game. Those two teams were 1 and 2. I mean, that's, for as much as we talk about everything else, if you're 1 or 2 in points scored per game, that's a big difference from 19. 215-592-9494. David is in Hamilton up on WIP. What's up, David? Dave? Malachi?
Dave.
David in Hamilton on hold.
Is he kidding me?
It happens. It's a holiday week. What do you expect? You know, we'll talk to Rich in Doylestown because he wants to talk about Dan Vladar getting a new contract. What's up?
Hey, you know, nothing better to talk about than hockey on a hot summer day.
That's right.
Right.
The ice is melting, and we're talking about next season. What are you thinking, Rich?
I think he's got a good contract. I'm glad they did sign him. But, boy, some of these names that are coming up that are available are also interesting, like Paul Giroux.
Do you want him back?
Well, if it's the right price, I'd like to have him back. We need centers. Obviously, we're going to have to make some moves. But is Paul Giroux the right move at the right price? Yeah, he might be the right move. But there's some other big names out there as well. How big do you think they're going to go? What do you think they're going to do?
So, listen, I, as a fan, want them to add and, like, go for it and try to take the next step next year. I know a lot of people like Kyle think, hey, do this, like, slow play this thing. It's Rich, as long as they don't stunt the development of the younger players, like, I'm good adding a few vets around them. I don't see a problem with that as they try to grow this thing into the future. So, I would love them to kind of push in a little bit here and try to take that next step.
I think it's time. The growing has been growing for quite a while now, and you'd like to see that next step being taken. And I have faith in the management, but will they take that next step? Do they have the money to take that next step?
Well, I mean, that's a fair question, too, right? Do they have the cap room, and can they create it, and do they think this is the right? Because it's twofold. And, Rich, good phone call. I mean, Rich, Hugh, it's not only is it time to go in, like, is this core ready, but also is this the right crop of available players, right? Because some years there's, like, stars out there or guys that you're like, oh, we can't pass this up. You know, for example, when Saquon was available, right? Or when the Phillies got Bryce Harper, like, now's our time to strike. And then other years it's like, there's some good players, but not great ones. We'll wait a year from now.
You know what? And with all due respect to the Flyers fan, because I think they consider us still, you know, helicopter Flyer fans. But
not anymore.
Well,
we painted our face two times.
We did. But this is a situation where they are ahead of schedule, right? And now everybody, they have some good players come in, and you talk about Porter Martone and the contribution that he made, and some other guys getting
top 11 on your list.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you have to let the process run its course. People are talking about pushing all in and bringing in some of these veteran guys to try to put you where you need to be. When I watched that Carolina Hurricanes, when I watched that game, those games, they just looked physically more imposing. They just like a bunch of grown men out there playing cohesive, in concert hockey.
Yes, grown men.
Yeah, they're not there yet. And then when you talk about them playing the Vegas Knights, it looked like two grown folks out there playing. Let this team grow, man, and get good together. Just let them go through their phases. I think it's exciting that we're talking about hockey now, and we're getting ready in July. July 1st, we're talking hockey, but just let it do what it do.
So I think for the most part, I agree with you on it. But there's also sometimes teams think you get a vet to help them, right? Like to push. Now, that's why the Drew thing is interesting, because he's being connected to come back here. Because he's obviously a vet, been around a long time, has played here before. So I think that one takes on a little bit different than just your random free agent. Jared is up. He wants to dispel some Jalen Hurts myths here. Jared?
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to get into, you know, all these great things about Jalen Hurts that we hear all the time. And Hugh, I want to say hi.
Come on.
Let me ask you one question real quick. Hugh, as a defensive player, would you be scared to give Puka Nacua a face mask because he would bite you?
Would I be scared to give him a face mask?
Like pull his face mask because he would bite you?
Puka.
Oh, no, not at all. We say it here jokingly. I wouldn't be afraid of Puka Nacua being bitten by him, anything like that, playing in the game, no.
I would, Jared. That's just me, though. Go ahead.
I would think so, too. So there's a lot of, like, things that all these Jalenites and the Jalen psychos have that they point to. Like, he's won five, you know, he's been to the playoffs five seasons in a row, and who's ever done that? There's actually a guy on the same team who's done that, and that's Andy Dalton. And he's done it five straight times, and we consider him not a winner. And the both of them combined have failed to win a playoff game 80% of the time, 8 out of 10 seasons. So that's like one thing that's not the biggest deal ever.
You know, Jared, I got to tell you, throwing the Andy Dalton retort in there, it's pretty good. I hadn't thought of that one. Because the idea is who's been to the playoffs their first five seasons. Andy Dalton went to the playoffs his first five seasons. All right. Now, obviously, Jalen and the Eagles went to the Super Bowl twice.
Yeah.
But, yeah. No, I mean, that's a fair point. First five seasons, five playoffs, Andy Dalton did that. That's you. I mean, that's Hugh's guy, Andy Dalton.
Red Rifle.
Yeah, the Eagles found the one guy that could have the same type of accomplishment, but Jalen could feel better than, since he's like, well, at least I won a couple years a game. Even though the defense gave up 7 points against Daniel Jones and 7 points against McCaffrey playing quarterback to get to the Super Bowl. But, I mean, that's different. So, in 2022, I'm going to share a little fact with you.
Okay.
I was almost the 2022 NFL MVP runner-up. Now, I received 0 votes. I had 0 points, just like you, Joe. But if we keep on hearing that Jalen Hurts almost was the MVP in 2022, then we were almost the runner-up in 2022. And this is why. Jalen Hurts had 193 points in the MVP voting.
Yes.
Mahomes had 490 points in the MVP voting. So if he was almost MVP, then we were closer to almost being the MVP runner-up in 2022. And I want to say congratulations, Joe, you, and all your fans. Because we were all almost runner-up.
You know what? I'm going to put that on my resume. No, almost the runner-up for MVP in 2022.
That's a great angle by Jared there.
Jared's got good.
I appreciate that.
Hugh, what do you think of that spin?
It's a lot. That was a lot.
Well, he did the math on it.
Yeah, and just to show you.
He kind of cooked
him,
by the way.
How close. just to show you how close that he was at winning MVP.
Yep.
That if you take Jalen Hurts, 193. Second, third place is Josh Allen's 151. Mm-hmm. Fourth place is Joe Burrow's 128 points. We're even throwing seventh place Trevor Lawrence, eighth place Micah Parsons, and ninth place A.J. Brown's points. Combine them all together, Mahomes wins 490 to 478. So, I mean, that guy was almost MVP in 2022.
I got to tell you, Jared, you got some... I like the spin on
it's
your facts.
It's Hugh Douglas level spin.
It is. You should. I would think anyone would appreciate it.
Just with more number crunching.
Let alone talking.
He's got
it.
One more.
I don't think we got time.
No, we do.
We got plenty of time.
Super Bowl MVP, which he did win.
Right. Yes.
He did win Super Bowl MVP. Mm-hmm. But, believe it or not, this is a case of almost, I don't get political, but like electoral college minority over majority rule. Mm-hmm. Millions and millions of fans voted officially for the NFL, but they only got 20% of the vote. In first place came Cooper DeJean for MVP. Second place came Jalen Hurts. In third place came Josh Sweat. So Jalen Hurts had millions of people vote against him. He got like 70 to 80% of fans voted against Jalen Hurts as the MVP. But you had 16 media members, which 11 voted for Jalen Hurts, 4 voted for Josh Sweat, and 1 voted for Cooper DeJean. So we have a case where we have, no offense, 11 hot take specialists, media members, and gatekeepers that overruled millions of fans worldwide that said 70, 80% said Jalen Hurts was not the MVP.
Listen, these are tough facts to go against.
The only name that people knew.
Yeah.
Jared, I'm
glad you brought this up. I actually forgot about this. And Jared, great phone call. Call again. I like Jared's spin on things. Does the fan vote count as a big percentage of the Super Bowl MVP vote?
I'm not sure.
Well, the way Jared framed it was, he said the fan vote counts as 20%. I mean,
we can't
trust people. Alec Bohm is on his way to maybe making the All-Star game.
Deservedly so.
Undeservingly so.
I think he's right. Fan voting.
Oh, guys, I can't do the Super Bowl.
NFL.com counts for 25% of Super Bowl MVP. No.
I can't take Super Bowl MVP seriously ever again. We're letting the fans vote for the Super Bowl MVP?
Yeah, the fans know best.
Fans are responsible for 20% of the vote.
No. It's an unserious award then.
It's not serious. That's groundbreaking information.
I mean, that is an unserious award.
That is groundbreaking.
And not just Jalen, Kenneth Walker. Pick your Super Bowl MVP. It's unserious. It's just, it can't be serious. Also, by the way, quickly, I'm looking, because he brought up the 2022 NFL MVP voting. It does tell you how long ago that was in pro football. Like, 4 years is forever. Here are some people on the people that got at least a single point in the voting. Justin Fields. Tyreek Hill, Geno Smith, Tua Tagovailoa, and did you know someone on their ballot for the 2022 NFL MVP wrote Denny Kellington down? Do you guys know who Denny Kellington is?
Name does not ring a bell.
He is the trainer that administered CPR to Damar Hamlin.
When he died,
Which is obviously an amazing moment helped save his life. I'm not diminishing that, but like...
But that was that felt like a lifetime ago.
That feels like a long time ago.
That's crazy.
Yes. So all those people were named on the ballot. Obviously, Jalen got a lot of votes, 193 points.
That was groundbreaking information by Jared.
I just can't take Super Bowl MVP seriously ever again.
My world is rocked.
20% of people are voting? What if they're trolling everyone like Hugh is with the Alec Bohm votes?
No, I'm not.
Hugh?
Yeah, he's still MVP.
Hugh?
Still an MVP.
Right, but is it a serious award?
No.
It's dead ass serious.
Nah.
Serious award when anyone can vote on it?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I don't know about that. All right.
Hugh is the same day that he's filling the ballot with Alec Bohm votes.
I know. Unseriously.
Yeah. I'm seriously filling it.
Someone has an agenda.
But by the same concept.
How dare you?
By the same concept of you and your agenda, someone could have sat at their phone during the Super Bowl 2 years ago and just voted Jake Elliott.
All day.
And
that's not an agenda.
A serious award then.
No. It is.
It's completely unserious. All right, 215-592-9494. That accolade voted on by just anyone. Mo, Larry, and Curly voting on the NFL MVP, Super Bowl MVP award. All right, your phone call's coming up. Hear from you people. Plus, a big game tonight. Are we feeling patriotic? We will talk about it. United States at Bosnia tonight at 8 o'clock. It's coming up. Midday show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
I got to warn you real quick about a scenario you may find yourself in. You got your dog. He's outside. He's loving your lawn. Your pet's just so happy. He wants you to take him for a walk because he's like, I don't want to take a crap on this lawn. It's way too beautiful. That could be you when you upgrade your yard with Turf Tech. That is the Delaware Valley's leader in premium artificial grass. Realistic, low-maintenance turf for homes, pet areas, playgrounds, and commercial spaces. Homeowners, contractors, landscapers, you can shop premium turf with competitive pricing for fast pickup or delivery. Visit turftech.com. That's TURFTEK.com. Turf Tech, happiness starts from the ground up.